For those of you who may have been here sometime last year, but I did a workshop called On the Three Metamorphoses, which was based on a parable in Friedrich Nietzsche's Thus Spoke Zarathustra. Nietzsche was a late 19th century philosopher, a German philosopher. And his most popular book, and arguably his greatest book, is this book, Thus Spoke Zarathustra, which is a compendium of stories, teachings, parables, which basically give the essence of Nietzsche's philosophy. His subtitle for the book was A Book for All and None, which I think I had mentioned briefly when I did that workshop. What he meant by that was that the book contained universal teachings, which were for everyone, but that he felt that the book was probably at least 50 years ahead of his time, and that therefore it was for no one because no one would understand it. Right? I thought that was an appropriate subtitle for this workshop, and actually I think an appropriate subtitle for the course. I think the course is certainly meant for everyone, and we'll speak about that a great deal. Not necessarily that everyone has to practice it, but those who apply its teachings, the teachings are meant to be applied to everyone. And certainly the underlying content of the course really is just another expression of the universal truth. You may remember that at the beginning of the manual, Jesus says that the course, his course, the Course in Miracles, is only one form among many thousands of the universal course. Right? And the core of any authentic spiritual teaching would be the same. In the language of the course, it's that God's Son is guiltless, right? And that the separation from his creator and source never happened. And so that would be the underlying content of any authentic teaching, regardless of the form that the teaching takes. The problem with the course is, I think most of you in the room, and probably most students would agree, is that it is damn difficult, right? Difficult not only to understand, but even more importantly, difficult to practice. And I think I've always felt, I'm not a very good prophet in terms of form, but I've always felt that the course is really not for this generation. It's really meant for future generations. And the purpose of this generation is basically to establish a foundation for its teachings so its teachings are never lost or distorted. And then at some point, I would assume it will have some impact. At this point, that seems highly unlikely in our age, but one never knows. So. All right. I want to go back now to the phrase "a book for all and none" and give it a different kind of flip or twist. Specifically, in terms of the course, the reason why it is a book or a teaching for all or none is that its central message is: you either forgive all or you forgive none. Right? And in effect, that's why, going back to Nietzsche's meaning, the course is also a book for all and none. Because what makes this so difficult, and why deep down no one wants this course, even its most faithful students, is because of that specific teaching. Forgiveness is universal, otherwise it is not forgiveness. Love is universal, otherwise it is not love. You either let love extend through you to embrace the whole sonship, or it embraces none of the sonship. It is all or none. You know, the line in The Obstacles to Peace says, together or not at all. That's the same idea as all or none. That's the key thing, I think. I mean, people could like make intellectual sense and maybe even believe that the world's an illusion and it's a dream, but everyone wants to cherish some aspect of judgment, some unforgiveness, some grievance somewhere. Because that, above all, is what defines us and keeps our ego thought system of separation intact. When the course talks about special relationships, which obviously is a major, major theme in the course, certainly in the text, the heart of special relationships is judgment, right? Which means the heart of special relationships is perceiving differences. And once you perceive differences and you judge the differences, which is inevitable, then you end up attacking. So basically, separation, judgment, difference, and attack are one and the same. They're all identical twins, conceived at the same time, given birth to at the same time. Once you have one, you have all of them. Separation, differences, judgment, and attack. Which means my existence as a separated entity, as a separated self, is predicated on my seeing differences and judging the differences. And what is the judgment that we make based upon the differences we perceive among us? The judgment is, you are sinful and I am sinless. That's the judgment, which of course constitutes an attack. I'm saying you're the sinner, not me. That's why it is so difficult to let go of our judgments, to let go of our grievances, to let go of our finding fault. Whether we find fault with a specific person in our personal life, whether we find fault with a public figure, whether we find fault with something like the air or the food we eat or the system, whatever the system is, or God. As long as we say something outside of me, someone, something outside of me has the power to affect me, to affect my peace and my love, we are making that whole quartet real: separation, differences, judgment, and attack. I'm saying there is something separate from me that is different from me, that has power over me, that could hurt me, and therefore I'm justified in judging it, which of course means then I'm justified in getting angry at it or attacking it. And if I do that with one person, or one thing, or one situation, I'm doing it for all. It's like if you have a glass of water and you drop one drop of a dye, a colored dye, it permeates the whole glass. One lack of forgiveness contaminates everything you think and perceive. That's what makes this course so fiendishly difficult. It's not its metaphysics. It's not its blank verse. It's not the way it uses words. It's not its masculine language. It's its universality, the universality of guilt and the universality of atonement. All right. If we profess love for Jesus or the Holy Spirit, and we beseech them to take us home and walk with us on the journey, we do not like the condition he places on that. Because basically what he says is, if you want me to walk with you, everyone must come with us. Everyone must come with us. And we'll look at some passages in the text later which make that very, very clear. That's the part of the course that is the most difficult. That it is a book. It is a teaching. It is a practice for all or for none. You either apply it to everyone or you apply it to no one. And there can be no compromise. If the only truth there is the oneness of God, and the only illusion there is the separation from that oneness, anytime we see separation is real, we are denying the truth of God's living oneness, which of course was what we did right at the beginning. So we always end up at the beginning, reenacting the original error of substituting separation and fragmentation for the wholeness and the oneness of God. All right, and that explains why everyone has trouble giving up judgment. No matter how many times you study this course, no matter how many times you hear the words, no matter how many times you strive to put them into practice, the ugliness of judgment just rises up, often when you least expect it. And that's the problem. And that's why, deep down, nobody really wants this course. Nobody really loves this course, because the you that thinks you love it is the you that is so threatened by it. A separated physical, psychological self. And so therefore, next time you consider asking Jesus to help you or the Holy Spirit to help you, think about what the help really means. He's helping you see that if you are truly serious about returning home and awakening from the dream, you must bring everyone with you, together or not at all. All or none. And then, of course, the next very important step is to be able to forgive yourself when you say, well, tomorrow maybe, not today. Or watch how cleverly and subtly you try and fool him. And, of course, fool yourself. That, of course, is what special love is. That, of course, is what Jesus calls in the pamphlet, forgiveness to destroy. When we think that we're being loving and forgiving and all-inclusive, but all we're really doing is continuing the illusion of separation, and therefore judgment, and therefore attack. The bottom line is, no one here is different from anyone else. And the fact that we think we are different is because we think we are bodies, because bodies are different. That's the problem. We think of this course in terms of bodies. Bodies are different, but minds are the same. Minds have the same ego, minds have the same Holy Spirit, and minds have the same decision-making power.